remind us that baseball will never die, for its everlasting rhythms lie rooted in the soil and its passions, in the smell of the new grass, in the hot sunshine of the deepest summers, in the enduring chatter that ripples through the bleachers, in the wafting odor of peanuts and popcorn and breaded corn dogs.
Above all, grant us boyhood and girlhood, where in time's soft reverie we are forever children, and where baseball shall dwell with us always, and where sharp grounders are eternally fielded in a new leather glove, and drives to deep center are ceaselessly ensnared in shoestring catches, and the wicked curveballs are met with two-run singles to the left center to win the game in the bottom half of the ninth.
Writer Willie Morris and illustrator Barry Mosier. They're here to talk about their new book, Prayer for the Opening of the Little League Season. Welcome to Soundings, a magazine of ideas and insights from the National Humanities Center. I'm Wayne Pond. Partial support for Soundings comes from Carolina Power and Light, where listening generates powerful ideas. The strike of 94-95 put baseball and its fans through the ringer. But regardless of how you see the players and the owners, for most little leaguers, the innocence and wonder of the game remain undamaged. In a new book for kids of all ages, writer Willie Morris and illustrator Barry Mosier have created an invocation for the baseball children of the earth, for their families, friends, and neighbors. In short, for all who recall, enjoy, or anticipate the pleasures of a Little League evening. Reading a prayer for the opening of the Little League season, here's Willie Morris and Barry Mosier.
Dear Almighty God, this is a prayer for all the kids of all races and creeds in the boundless earthly springtime, as baseball once more commences, as it has and will eternally in the ordinance and charter of thy inexorable seasons.
First, bless the youthful catchers in their awkward knee pads and chest pads and masks, their unwieldy tools of ignorance which shelter all the boys who possess the valor to be catchers, that they may be safe from injury and neglect, from errant curve balls and stray fast ones and sharp little fouls that nip the mortal flesh.
Protect the little infielders from bad bounces and assuage the pain of wounded lips and cheeks when blood mingles with the infield soil. Grant them deft shovel dips and 6-4-3 double plays.
Spare the eager outfielders from misjudging long drives in the lengthening twilight. Permit them swift diving catches in the dry and tranquil grass, and assure them hard, accurate tosses on cut-off throws to the inmost diamonds, straight to second, or at the corners with the runners going.
Save the young pitchers from all erratic affliction as the line drives whip past their heads and torsos and toes, and give them mastery of their fastballs and curves that they may outwit the fledgling enemy sluggers, especially with men on the bases.
Impart faith to the rookies whose toil is to wait in the bullpens, where their labor is anonymous, as it has been through mortal time, that they, too, shall inherit the earth, for theirs is a lonely calling. Comfort the smallest of the ball players who have never gotten a hit, and those who strike out time and time again, or languish on the benches day after livelong day, for their moment, too, is destined to be.
Defend the little ball players when they drop flies or boot grounders from the wrath of their fathers, for many are the fathers who fear not the timeless injunction, judge not that ye be not judged. For every shield the erring boys from retributive daddies who know not even the infield fly rule.
Reward the faithful mothers as they transport their children to practice, launder their sullied uniforms, soothe their cuts and bruises, pacify their anxious qualms, and sustain them in triumph as in adversity with cheers and acclamations from the bleachers, for theirs is rightfully the kingdom of heaven.
Glorify, too, the grandparents in their faithfulness and the aunts and uncles who bear witness in the stands, and forsake not the little brothers and sisters who admire their agile siblings with an abiding eagerness.
Absolve the umpires from the consequences of their flaws. Bequeath them transcendent vision, and sanctify them above all for the close calls at the plate, for they, more than any of thy creatures, are afflicted with tribulations.
Remind us that baseball will never die, for its everlasting rhythms lie rooted in the soil and its passions, in the smell of the new grass, in the hot sunshine of the deepest summers, in the endured chatter that ripples through the bleachers, in the wafting odor of peanuts and popcorn and breaded corn dogs.
Above all, grant us boyhood and girlhood, where in time's soft reverie we are forever children, and where baseball shall dwell with us always, and where sharp grounders are eternally fielded in a new leather glove, and drives to deep center are ceaselessly ensnared in shoestring catches, and the wicked curveballs are met with two-run singles to the left center to win the game in the bottom half of the ninth.
In thy infinite wisdom and grace, our great umpire in the heavens, grant all this in perpetuity to all the baseball children of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Willie Morris and Barry Moser, welcome to the National Humanities Center, and congratulations on this wonderful book you have done here for Little League season. How are you all doing?
Wayne, it's good to be here.
Tell me how this book came about. Mr. Morris, let me begin with you.
Well, we have a very close mutual friend in Jackson, Mississippi, named John Evans, who owns one of the great bookstores in America, Lemuria. And he's a big Little League coach, and for years he had been after me to write a prayer for the opening of the Little League season, and to throw out the ball at the first game. Well, I kept putting it off for years, and finally my wife and I were coming home from dinner one night in Jackson. I said, I'm going to get Johnny Evans off my back, and I'm going to write that prayer. And I wrote a first draft. I stayed up all night doing it and polished it a lot. And then my good fortune to hook up with the great, in my opinion, the greatest illustrator in the United States, Barry Moser, and he got into it then when Johnny Evans read it to you on the telephone, right?
Right. He called me on the phone one night and said, you have to hear this. And so he read it to me and told me that he had had it printed as a broadside. And I said, John, you have to send me one of those broadsides. Mm-hmm. So he did, and I was even more impressed with it when I read it. And the broadside happened to be lying out on a table in my studio when a friend of mine, who was also my agent, Jeff Dwyer, came by, and he saw it. And he's long been an admirer of Willie's. And so he read the thing. He said, "God, Mose," he said, "you know, this make a good book." and it hadn't dawned on me that it might be a book, because it was more like a poem. Uh-huh. And but we broke it up into various stanzas and presented it to Reuben Pfeffer at Harcourt Brace, and he, being a Little League coach himself, thought it was a pretty good idea.
I want you all to tell me how your respective imaginations worked. Willie Morris, when you wrote a prayer for the opening of Little League season, not to put too fine a spin on this, is this a big spiritual experience, or was this really the sort of writerly craft at work? And then I want to hear Mr. Moser talk about putting pictures and vividness to these words that you came up with.
Well, Wayne, I think it was both of those aspects. It was a writing craft, but also my longstanding spiritual involvement with baseball. I was a baseball player myself in Mississippi years ago, and my father taught me the game. I grew up before the Little League phenomenon. Mm-hmm. But in writing this, I drew on my experiences with baseball, my knowledge of the game. And once I got into the spirit of it, I truly enjoyed doing it.
Do you believe that we should use words like metaphysical and religious when we speak of baseball?
Well, I think it's deeply rooted in the psyche of America. When Barry and I were collaborating on this book, and he was starting in on his wonderful illustrations, we had this whole mess with baseball. We're not talking about the eternal verities of the game now. We're talking about federal injunctions and salary caps and luxury taxes.
Yep.
And free agencies.
Yep.
So there's an irony there. But I think that baseball will endure. Mm-hmm. And I believe that our book catches that.
Well, now we're at a distinct disadvantage, Barry Moser. We're on the radio. We're not on TV. We can't look at these wonderful pictures that you have created. But tell me how you, what was it that cooked in your mind and imagination to bring them up?
Well, first of all, it had to be accurate. One of the things that is a liability for me sometimes is when I get involved in making illustrations of things that I know nothing about.
So you're not a baseball fan to begin with?
No, not really. And I'm not a baseball fan on account of when I was in the seventh grade, I went out for the baseball team at my school, and I ended up the season having never connected with the ball with a batting average of zero.
Don't we all have experiences like that somehow?
Oh, of course, we do. In fact, we have a stanza in here that was Barry's idea to add to my draft, which about the little kids who languish on the bench or who never get a hit.
Right. Well, give us a sense, Mr. Moser, of the range of images that you present in this.
Well, the first image is the one that's on the jacket. It's a photograph of John Evans' team in North Jackson, Mississippi, the Lemuria team. The arrangement of the figures, which I composed out at the ball field with these kids, is sort of a play, a very abstract sort of play, on Dürer's praying hands. A very corny image. It's a beautiful drawing, but a very corny image.
Well, now wait, we're resorting to the classics here. I mean, we're looking at biology and
yeah.
anatomy and
yeah.
all of these sort
well,
of...
Well, it's just the composition. It rises from the two sides into a peak, which mm-hmm. is reminiscent of the praying hands, or reminiscent, if you will, of an arched window in a church. There are a few changes made. These are the sorts of things that I have to deal with. That Johnny's team was all boys, and there were no black kids on the team.
Mm-hmm.
So I altered that. There is a girl very dominantly in the picture.
She's the pitcher.
She is indeed the pitcher.
Southpaw.
Yeah, and a southpaw.
Now, are you surrendering to political correctness, or do you really believe in these things when we speak?
Well, from my point of view, I'm the father of three daughters. And the grandfather of four, well, three, it might be four today, I'm not sure, I haven't called home yet. but I'm very interested and have been very interested in women's issues, having raised my three daughters and have a hand in raising my four granddaughters.
Also, Barry and I have been traveling around the country extensively on this book, and we find that a lot of girls are playing Little
uh-huh.
League baseball.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Absolutely. You know, and now there's the Denver Silver Bullets. And if anything has piqued my interest in baseball, it is the advent of a woman's professional baseball team.
When I looked at a prayer for the opening of Little League season, I don't mind telling you, it brought tears to my eyes, and I thought to myself, my goodness, you all are evoking this incredible sense of innocence and wonder. Let me ask you to step back from the book itself, gentlemen. When you take the measure of the society that we live in, and at one end you have a book such as the one you have done here, and at the other end you have got the terrible circumstances of American culture, all of our problems, education, one thing and another, you could tick off this long litany. Is this a sort of last gasp here of American innocence?
I certainly hope not. And I don't think it is. However, the problems of organized baseball in the United States today, I think, are a reflection of the broader society, as indeed baseball has been historically. Ken Burns' marvelous PBS documentary captured something of that essence.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening in organized baseball today, it's a reflection of, I think, a general greed in American life that... I think the owners are more greedy than the players, but not by much.
Mm-hmm.
But
two camps of villains there.
But at the same time, in contrast, you have these rituals and cadences and rhythms of the game itself, which spring from the pastures of America.
Who was it wrote a book called Take Time for Paradise? In other words, this is our little moment of sort of the celestial kingdom here when we get out there. And whether it's little kids or if we suspend our disbelief and watch the grown-ups do it, it still has this wonderful clarity to it. It's a kind of parenthesis in our lives.
Well, it's these historical cadences of the country. It's interesting. Just when this book came out, I was in a bookstore somewhere in the United States, and I saw a man, a grown man, thumbing through our prayer for the opening Little League season, and he was crying, and big tears were coming down his face, and I was a little worried. I got first aid in the Boy Scouts and feel some responsibility to the Boy Scout oath,
right.
And I went over to him and asked him if he was okay. He said, "I'm an umpire, and I've just been reading your stanza and yours and Mr. Moser's book about umpires, and this is the first time I have ever seen any sympathy expressed for umpires." And the little stanza goes, "Absolve the umpires from the consequences of their flaws, bequeath them transcendent vision, and sanctify them above all for the close calls at the plate, for they, more than any of thy creatures, are afflicted with tribulation." So this fellow was still crying. I didn't know umpires cry.
Well, now see, here's strong evidence for the fact that baseball is a sort of a theological exercise, that we're into large words like sin and redemption and
well, I think
salvation.
I think at its more pristine level, it is very theological.
Mr. Moser, I want you to talk about the illustrations that you provided for a prayer for the opening of Little League season. Put baseball into the, what, spectrum of American iconography. I mean, how does it figure in our art and the kind of work that you do?
Well, it's a very strange thing for me that it has become a something of a mainstream for me now, even belying the fact that I'm not really a baseball fan. The first one was a book I did with David Godin a number of years ago, the centennial edition of Casey at the Bat, uh-huh. for which Donald Hall did an introduction. Then last year I had a book come out with Richard Wilbur called A Game of Catch. And this book then this season and a year from now there's going to be another book come out that I did with Donald Hall called When Willard Met Babe Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
So I've begun simply because I'm somewhat methodical and fastidious about my research on these things, because I hate being caught in a mistake. It is so embarrassing.
Well, you use the word accurate. You want it to be accurate.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you don't know something, and the only thing that I have to rely on are my eyes, my observation, that observation has to be keen. It has to be right on the money. So I've been observing a lot of things, and the more I observe about baseball, particularly about its history and the photographic iconography that exists. I mean, I've made my trip to Cooperstown, New York, to do my research and all that sort of thing. I've really become fascinated with it. I don't know that if I were not making images for books, how much baseball would influence my iconography. As an easel painter, my imagery might be very different from my work as an illustrator. The two things are not the same thing, because what I do in making illustrations, this is something a lot of people have a very hard time understanding, is that I don't particularly see my paintings as being the objects of art, if you will. It's the book. It's the whole book. It's each one of these paintings are pieces of an entity.
This is an integrated kind of exercise.
Absolutely. And then the topography, which I spend mm-hmm. more time working on the typography on a book like this than I do making the pictures.
Now, did you all talk back and for a good bit, or was it sort of each man to his own, and then we'll let an editor put this book together? How did that work, Mr. Morris?
We did talk some, and Barry has an interesting story. The book needed some additions. For the sake of a 32-page signature.
Right.
So by telephone, Barry lives in Massachusetts and I live in Mississippi. I added one of the things about the kids who sit on the bench all the time. Here's a stanza. "Comfort the smallest of the ball players who have never gotten a hit, and those who strike out time and time again or languish on the benches day after livelong day, for their moment, too, is destined to be. And Barry has a classic watercolor of the little boy who's always striking out, but 2 years hence, he might be hitting the curveball.
Well, I got to hand it to you. I mean, the way you have put the words and the pictures together here, the book functions as what? It's kind of nostalgic, and yet it is very immediate in the present, and it's a great consolation to look at the way you have brought these words and pictures together.
Well, thank you. Well, another interesting thing about it, I think, too, is the trim size. It's a very small book. It's and I had to actually do some arguing with my editor about that.
Now, here's the designer at work.
The designer, absolutely, because the format of the book is the first thing. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing I have to deal with. And the standard 32-page picture book for children, quote-unquote, is 8.5x11.
Now, I can't let you get away sounding quite so positive. I remember interviewing a novelist, a man named Steve Yunt, who's written a book called Wandering Star. That's about the end of the world in High Plains, Texas in 1910. But there's a wonderful baseball episode in this thing. And what that book reminds us of is that baseball really has a kind of mixed past. There was a time when it was not respectable. It was an excuse for bullies and loudmouths to go out and beat up on people. How do we think about baseball?
Well, but that's absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
And bullies still populate the baseball scene.
Well, who else would have invented the wave, huh?
That's right. That's a very good point. I hate the wave. But bullies have always populated the game. And I think contemporary Major League Baseball, a lot of players are not setting good examples for the kids. And I'm not talking about off-the-field matters, but on the field. They become such showboats. And this is not a good example. But some people, I guess, feel that a childhood is an adult pastime. I disagree. I happen to be perhaps the United States' oldest living sixth grader.
I love it.
I'm obsessed with childhood, and I've written a lot about it. And if I may say so, I think Barry Moses' beautiful watercolors catch so much of the mood of childhood itself. And I think this book is not just about baseball. It's about childhood, mm-hmm. about growing up, or the patterns of growing up, and baseball does test you at an early age. You boot a grounder, you don't have anywhere to hide.
Absolutely. Were you aware of yourselves as author and illustrator fitting into this larger pattern of, shall we call it, the little boy's book or the little person's book? On a grand scale, we could talk about things like Huck Finn and that sort of...
Huck Finn couldn't hit the curveball, though. he was okay on the knuckler. Barry and I have never really collaborated on a book before. I hope we will in the future. We first time we met was in the governor's mansion in Jackson, Mississippi, a party for Eudora Welty. And Barry's an old friend of my wife's, who's a book editor. And so we got into this thing. How did you feel about this as a childhood type book? You don't see it as a child's book.
No,
really.
I really don't, because I have a hard time with it. In fact, and I don't want to get pedantic here, but we do have in our country a serious discrimination against children. Writers, there are very few writers in our country who will write or who can write, or indeed who will write for adults and children. And you can name them on your fingers and have a few fingers left over. People, Willie Morris, of course, Donald Hall has done it, Eudora has done it, Alice Walker has done it.
Well, let me stop you. Who is this book for, then? Is it for the whole spectrum of our population? Who'd you have in mind when you wrote the words, and Mr. Moser, when you did the pictures?
I say everyone.
That'd be my answer, too.
Children of all ages, right, as Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey used to proclaim. I don't see this as a juvenile, quote, juvenile book, but I see it as a book for everyone, don't you,
right,
Barry?
I do, absolutely, absolutely. And I do the pictures for Dante, for instance.
He was a center fielder, wasn't he?
No, I think he played right field.
No, that was Dante Calabria, actually. he was a forward for UNC Chapel Hill.
I'm impressed.
There you go.
No, but when I do illustrations for the classics like that, I don't maintain any different degree of craftsmanship, nor sincerity, nor maturity, nor intellectual acumen.
You don't condescend to the subject.
Absolutely not. And that's a great mistake when people do write for children, who, in that they will condescend to children. And children have enormous... I'm not sure whether I can say this on the air, but I play it another way. Have a great detectors for feculence.
Well, this is a G-rated radio show, so we'll let the listener translate that for himself. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming by the National Humanities Center, Willie Morris and Barry Moser. The book is A Prayer for the Opening of Little League Season. It is a wonderful bringing together of words and pictures. I thank you for your time on Soundings, and I certainly wish you well in your work.
Thanks
so much.
This is Soundings, a magazine of ideas and insights from the National Humanities Center. I'm Wayne Pond. My guests this week were writer Willie Morris and illustrator Barry Moser. I'll be back in just a moment with information about where to write for a cassette tape of this program. It's Soundings from the National Humanities Center. I'm Wayne Pond. My guests this week were writer Willie Morris and illustrator Barry Moser. For a cassette tape of this program, please send $10 to Soundings, the National Humanities Center, Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Our zip code is 27709. Ask for program number 772. That's program number 772. Our address again is Soundings, the National Humanities Center, Research Triangle Park, North Carolina. Our zip code 27709. Next week on Soundings, Walcott on Poetry. Nobel Prize-winning poet Derek Walcott will be here to read from and talk about his work. Until next week's show, thanks for listening to Soundings. Partial support for this program comes from Carolina Power and Light, where listening generates powerful ideas. Our theme music is by Jeff Perry. Soundings is a cultural affairs service of the National Humanities Center. A Prayer for the Opening of the Little League Season, this week on Soundings. I'm Wayne Pond at the National Humanities Center. Join me for a reading and conversation with writer Willie Morris and illustrator Barry Moser. Their new book is for kids of all ages, A Prayer for the Baseball Children of the Earth, for their families, friends, and neighbors. A Prayer for the Opening of the Little League Season, a reading and conversation with Willie Morris and Barry Moser, this week on Soundings.